A carillon is a musical instrument composed of cast bronze bells. And about 50 years ago, our guild, we have a guild here in North America, came up with a definition of 23 or more bells arranged in chromatic sequence. Now, that's an important distinction because in America, we have something called chimes. Many churches have 8 or 10 bells where you can ring out single melodies. But that's much different than a carillon where we can play in several keys. Whereas in a chime, you can usually only play in C or F for the musicians in the audience. But with a carillon, we can play in various keys. And again, here our carillon here in Springfield, of Thomas Reese Memorial Carillon, has 67 bells, which is quite extraordinary. So that makes us one of the largest instruments in the world.
People may not realize that, just how extraordinary this instrument is to have this in Springfield.
We're very lucky. I always like to share with folks that there are only 675 instruments in the world, give or take, a handful here or there. And again, 180 in North America, and we have one right here in Springfield. And we're very fortunate because Senator Thomas Reese, who passed away in 1933, left his entire estate to the Springfield Park District to build this carillon. So we're really grateful for that.
This week we have the big event getting underway. It's the 53rd annual International Carillon Festival in Washington Park in Springfield. And give us an idea of the types of people who will be coming here. We're really talking about people who not only understand this instrument, but are quite adept at playing it.
Absolutely. We have a great tradition here, started here by Raymond Keldermans and continued by his son Carl. For, you know, more than half century, we have been inviting the best carillonneurs from around the world. So if you are an established player, a young player, a veteran player, you have played here. You're invited. I often make the parallel. It's kind of like being a young musician and being invited to Tanglewood for the first time, or Carnegie Hall, if you will. We are considered one of the premier festivals in the world. We're certainly at this point the longest running. And to be invited to play here is really a great honor. So we have some wonderful players this year from the Netherlands, from Belgium. We have several American players, several student players. So it's a lot of fun. And we have this year, we're really excited, we have cast in bronze. There are only 3 traveling carillons in the United States. And Frank Della Penna is bringing his traveling carillon to Springfield, so that'll be a real treat for folks. He's been on America's Got Talent. He's played for the Pope. He's played at Epcot. So Springfield can see him right in their own backyard.
Well, the carillon does not go as far back as Abraham Lincoln, but we're bringing Lincoln into this festival, and that's on Wednesday night. Christian, you've done a lot of work with the program that's going to be presented that night. Give us an idea of what people can expect.
Sure. We'll be playing several songs that we know Lincoln liked or that Lincoln had encountered, rather than songs just about Lincoln. And we're going to try to give a pretty broad sample of the kinds of music that he really enjoyed. So in particular, they're all going to be popular tunes for the most part, popular songs, which Lincoln, being kind of rural and coming from, we all know, you know, from a kind of rural, rustic background, was a fan of, although he did go to operas and things like that, but we didn't incorporate that into the show. But he going to be a lot of sentimental songs. Lincoln was very big on the sentimental ballads that were very popular during the 19th century. Those who know anything about Lincoln know about him telling stories and jokes, and that was reflected in his taste in music. He liked these little funny numbers. The rumors from those who knew him is that he liked ones with pretty dirty blue lyrics, but we don't have any of these. None of these survived that we know Lincoln liked, but we do have some other kind of jokey songs that we know he liked that aren't quite as blue. And then of course, to represent the presidential years, we have some patriotic songs and some Civil War songs, again, that have an association with Lincoln that we knew Lincoln heard a lot or liked.
How did you go about researching this music? How did you find out that Lincoln did actually like this particular melody?
Mostly we get Lincoln himself didn't talk about music a lot in his own writings, although he did. There's a famous quote by Lincoln – well, not famous, but there's a quote by Lincoln where Lincoln says that he thinks music is was created by God after God created the earth, as to be something purely enjoyed by mankind, which is kind of an interesting quote because it shows he didn't kind of give much intellectual weight to music, but he saw it as a pure pleasure. And there's a famous incident at the end of the Civil War where Lincoln reclaims Dixie right after he gets back from Richmond before he gets assassinated, and he asks a band to play Dixie, and he says, you know, basically the South had appropriated this as their anthem, and he wants to reclaim it as a national song. And Dixie is one of the songs we're going to include in the concert because we know Lincoln liked Dixie. He encountered it before the war. But for the most part, the way we found out about these songs is through reminiscences, particularly those collected by Lincoln's legal partner, William Herndon, who wrote a biography of Lincoln in the 19th century. And he went around and interviewed people who knew Lincoln at various stages of his life. And a lot of them told stories, particularly from Lincoln's youth, about the kinds of music he liked and named particular songs Lincoln liked. And that's where I got a lot of these from.
And when people come out, they can enjoy the music just like Lincoln wanted them to do so. They can bring a lawn chair, they can bring a blanket and just sit there in Washington Park and listen. They can even see who's playing. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, little different twist. Of course, Mr. Lincoln did not experience a carillon, so I will be accompanying on the carillon much like I might on a piano. We'll have two wonderful singers join us, Galen Draper, our soprano, and Jerry Hicks, our tenor, both very well known in the Springfield community. And they'll be bringing this music to life. They'll be up in the tower with me on level 8. We'll be broadcasting that. There'll be a large screen so the audience can see it from the base of the tower. And if we get all the AV worked out, Christian will also be downstairs so he can interact with the audience and introduce the songs and give us some wonderful background and vignettes. Because for me, that's been a great joy working with Christian and reading his wonderful book, Battle Hymns. He brings all of these to life and all of the wonderful stories behind the songs. And I never tire of him telling the evolution of Dixie. You know, it just really makes us appreciate how songs are living things almost or living objects, how the soldiers brought the songs to us. It's wonderful stuff.
Well, and let me add, too, why it's important to have singers is the lyrics of these songs really mattered to Lincoln and in some ways mattered more to most 19th century Americans than they do to us today. Because they wouldn't have heard them on the radio. They would have sung them themselves. And so a lot of the reason why Lincoln preferred a lot of these particular songs was for the lyrics. So we wanted to make sure that was represented in the show since it would have been so important.
I was talking with somebody the other day. They mentioned to me how they really enjoyed the sound of the carillon, but they were saying, you know, I don't know that I could tell if there was a good carillon player or somebody who might be just more middle of the road even. You know, they really like the sound so much that to them it's not as noticeable. Or at least they don't think they can notice, that different level of expertise. How could somebody, understand that a little bit better?
I guess a couple ways. That's what's so wonderful about our festival, because you can over just 5 days hear lots of different players approach the instrument differently. So they're going to get a different sound of it. But Sean, to your point, the carillon bell does have a minor tone deliberately cast in to the profile of the bell. I guess a clear way to say that there is just a minor sound to the bell. So for that reason, it does take some kind of getting used to, if you will. So for someone new to the carillon, they're like, gee, I like it, but I'm not sure if it should sound that way or not. I would just encourage them to just, come often. We do play often. We do play 5 times a week officially, and then students are playing all the time. I guess it's like anything. It's almost like orchestral music. If the first time you heard orchestral music, you just would have to kind of tune your ear to it or acclimate your ear to it. It's much like the carillon, I think.